And so tonight I want to continue with a title that some of you may see as redundant, but I don't think the two words are synonymous, and that is tonight, the trust of faith. You can't have faith without trust. And I want us to see the life of Abraham in verse number 8. The Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Tonight I want to speak to you on the aspect is that our faith, if our faith is to increase, our trust must increase. Have any of you ever had trust issues before? When I'm talking about trust issues, I remember specifically a time when I was a kid, an area church, it was an area Southern Baptist church, had raised money for people to go to a camp, and because I never got to go anywhere, I remember the first time I left North Carolina, I thought I was in a foreign country. It was an amazing trip. I mean, I was just sheltered that much. And so my friends asked me, they said, would you like to go to camp? I said, yeah, I'd love to go to camp. That'd be great. And so they paid for it, and we went to camp. And I'll never forget during that week, they had a day that had team-building exercises. Now, that sounds great. You say, team-building, that's great. You know, team-building exercises are great unless you're the heaviest kid in the group. And I speak from experience. I remember we did activity after activity, and finally we came to this one, and it looked like there was a light pole that was buried in the ground, and the stump of it was about that high off the ground. And in this team building activity, they would put you on top of that pole, and you would stand at attention, and they would line the other guys in the cabin up behind you, locking hands. And the idea was for you to just fall backwards with no worries and let your classmates or your cabin mates catch you. And I was the heaviest kid in the cabin. And at this point, you're dealing with 12-year-olds. In just a couple of years, some of them will go, or next, the following year, some go to junior high with boys that are shaving and their arms are as big as their legs. You know, it's just quite disproportionate. But they were all scrawny. I was husky, but they were scrawny. And so everybody does it, and they're screaming with glee, and the counselor looks at me, and he says, it's your turn. And I looked at him and went, he said, it's okay. He said, everybody else, they've done this. So he said, it'll be all right. It's your turn. And I went, and then after some cajoling and ridicule by the other cabin mates and the counselors continued imploring, I finally, as I looked at him, he said, why don't you do it? And now by this time, my eyes are filled with tears and I go, now only the Lord knows whether those boys would have caught me that day or not. But I'll tell you one thing, I didn't trust them. I wanted to tell the counselor, you didn't ride in the van with these boys. I wanted to tell the counselor, you don't know these boys like I do. And I, to this day, I'll tell you, at the drop of a hat, I didn't trust them a lick and I didn't do it. But you know, sometimes we treat God like He's a cabin mate. We talk a lot about faith, don't we? But that's really geared, or that's really, our faith is revealed by just whether or not we trust Him. Now that day, I wouldn't trust those fellas to catch somebody who maybe was in the 140-pound range, but I'm talking to individuals here tonight. There's no reason why we shouldn't trust God. You see, young people, I tell you this tonight, that listen, faith is just an empty, hollow, religious word without trust. You can talk a lot about faith. But if you refuse to trust Him, listen, you're not putting your faith in God. You're not living by faith. And right now is a time of your life where you have to live by faith. And by the way, that's true the rest of your life. That's one of the reasons I believe it's good for young people to go to Bible college, go to an actual campus, rather than just sit behind a TV screen and take classes. I'm not saying that that's not God's will for everyone, but listen, for some, that's the easy way. You don't have the pressure of work. You don't have the pressure of the classroom. You don't have the pressure of the teacher sometimes calling you after class and breathing down your neck. As I heard one guy put it, I think it's great. You don't train Navy SEALs online. I thought that's a good way to put it, you know. I wouldn't want a Navy SEAL trained online to protect me. I saw it in the video. It must work. But tonight we look at a man by the name of Abraham. And do you know Abraham shows us three distinct ways in which he trusted God? And tonight I ask you, are you willing to trust God in the same way that Abraham did thousands of years ago? Now, when we begin reading in verse 8, we first of all find Abraham leaving. By faith, Abraham is leaving everything that he knew to head to an uncertain place. And the only thing that he's clinging to is not an atlas, but the promise of God as he makes his journey. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation. And I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Now this isn't the message tonight, but I believe that verse 3 is true tonight. There are preachers that treat Israel as if it is just no special thing about it. But I believe that promise is true tonight, and I'm very grateful for a posture that our country has taken to the nation of Israel. So Abraham leaves everything that he knows. Why does he leave? He leaves by faith. Do you understand that when Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, do you understand that as he left there, he left a place of familiarity? Have any of you done that recently? Have you left a place of familiarity? You say, "I'm not from Ur of the Chaldees." Well, I'm glad. That's a long ways from here. But I'm telling you, sometimes the heartstrings begin to pull on us. And we become enslaved to familiarity and to being comfortable more than we're enslaved to the will of God. It's hard to believe, but many a comfortable place has kept people from the will of God. When people have made the conscious choice to stay put, they seek a place of familiarity. Listen, Abraham left a familiar place and he went to a place where he didn't know anyone. Now, many people don't know this, but missions is our largest major here at Ambassador. And while I'd love to see more evangelists, I'm going to tell you, I'm glad for all those missionaries. Why? Because one day they're going to find themselves in a place of uncertainty, in a place of unfamiliarity. But if they've got God's call, they're where they need to be. There's some of you tonight, God will put you one day in a very unfamiliar place, and right now you're balking at where you're at. Listen to me, if you renege and you turn tail now and you seek to go back to a place of familiarity, listen to me, you'll be unfulfilled and you can't step forward in faith until you're willing to step out of your comfort zone. You know, when Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, he left family. I tell the freshmen in freshman orientation, you know, if you're homesick, listen, that's not a bad thing. That means you love mom and dad. It may mean you love mom's cooking. But don't you dare let homesickness and family keep you from what you ought to be doing. You say, well, I just like being around my mom. Well, when you get married, I hope you have a husband that likes being around your mom a lot too. Forget about the leave and cleave thing. We'll just have a good big commune. Now, again, I'm not making fun. Listen to me. If you have a mom and a dad tonight that you dearly love, listen, I thank God for that. But you know what? If you have a mom and dad that loves God and you love God, why, nobody would want to keep you out of the center of God's will. Jesus, He said something a little bit harsh when it came to family. In Luke 14, verse 26, He said, if any man come to Me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters and yea, and his own life also, he cannot be My disciple. There's some of you tonight, you say, Brother Bill, I'll tell you what, I'm really struggling with homesickness. You say, right now, I'm just struggling. I'm in an unfamiliar place. And mom and dad, I love them so much. Listen to me. I understand that, but did you know that Elisha of old knows exactly how you feel? In 1 Kings 19, so he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and mother, and then will I follow thee. You know, for Elisha to go sit under Elijah, he had to leave his family behind. All I'm saying tonight is you're just in a long list of faithful that have sometimes had to leave the dearest things they know to follow God. We can talk a lot about faith, but if we're not willing to leave, then I don't think we're willing to walk by faith. So, okay, he's going to leave Ur of the Chaldees. Where has he headed to? I've got good news for you. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Now that defies everything that the world teaches. Where are you going today? I don't know. What are you going to do when you get out of school? I don't know. There's seniors right now. You're in that mode. Girls are thinking, I'm going to get married if he'll ever wise up at Christmas time and get engaged to me. You go up to Abraham. You say, Abraham, where are you going? Where are you headed? Abraham says, I don't know. I'm just going this way. Just heading this direction. Abraham, I know you're going in that direction. Your camels are pointed that way. But ultimately, where are you headed to? Are you headed to Cherville? Are you headed to Greenville? Where are you headed? He'd say, I don't know. Listen to me. There's some of you tonight, 5 years from now, you have no clue where you're going to be. Do you know that? You'll have a place where you think you're going to be. But you can't say dogmatically, yes, I know that's where I'm going to be. You ladies, I'm going to get married. I'm going to have 3 children. We're going to live in this type of a house. Listen, if you dream like that, write all of that out. Look over it longingly and throw it away. And then if it happens, then you're a prophet. If not, it's all right. You know, there's some young ladies in this student body. They're sharp. They're sharp young ladies. And some of you fellas need to wake up. But 5 years ago, do you know how you're going to be where you need to be? If you're like Abraham and you keep your camels pointed in the right direction day by day. There's some of you, you're trying to see the big picture. And God's saying, put your head down in the row and just plow day by day. You don't have to know every last detail of your life. You just have to know the one who does. That's the goal tonight. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Listen to me. The world looks down at Gideon and says, Gideon, I hear you got a good big battle today. How many people you got? 300. Gideon, you're going up over 100,000 strong. Yeah, I know. Gideon, what have you got? Oh, I'll tell you, we've got some pots and lamps. Gideon, you got problems. That's what you've got. What is that ruddy lad walking down there in the valley with a sling in his hand going up against a giant? The world says, that man's crazy. That man's foolish. And yet God looked down at David and he acknowledged him as faithful. Moses is standing at the Red Sea. He has perhaps no idea exactly how God is going to do it, but yet God delivers the nation of Israel. Listen, there is an element of faith when you trust God in such a depth and fashion, you don't have all the answers, but you rest in the fact that you know who does. And do you know that God sometimes calls you to leave things behind long after you start in this Christian walk? It's a continual process. So I want to ask you, are you willing to take a step of faith tonight, and are you willing just to step forward and leave those things behind? Don't let them cling to you. You say, well, those are good things, and they've made me feel good. You see God's promise, and you leave those things behind like Abraham, and you may walk into uncertainty. But if God points you in that direction, you keep walking day by day. You see, if you have trust in God, not only will it cause you to leave like Abraham did. In verse 8, we find Abraham leaving. But in verse number 9, we find him living. You know, the leaving process, that's pretty hard. But then after that, you have to do something. It's called live. Like 16 semesters of it, or 16 weeks of it right now. You got to live through it. What do you find Abraham doing in verse number 9? By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Was Abraham a poor man? No, he wasn't. Abraham was a man of means. But he sure didn't live like it at times. I'm sure he had nice tents. But still, he just didn't bed down and say, you know what, here's just my parcel of land. And you know what, it's just a lot easier to build a place and for my wife to clean it than for us to just be living in tents like nomads from here to here to here. You know, there was a great contentment, I believe, that Abraham had. The fact that he was just sojourning, he was dwelling. He wasn't flailing in uncertainty. He just continued day by day. And let me tell you something that's a good rule of thumb. When you find yourself flailing and panicking, something's wrong. Do you know that? Before I learned how to swim, I was in a pool years ago. I'll never forget it. I was just a little kid, and I shouldn't have been at the public pool anyway, but that's just, you know, that's what we all did. And I was out there, and I was on the edge where you have those, you know, this line that's hung from side to side with these floats. And part of it is the shallow and the other part is the deep ascent or descent down into the depths, about 8 or 12 feet. Well, I, you know, got on that and I was on the slope and I thought that was really neat. I couldn't swim and all of a sudden, boy, I slipped and I reached up and I grabbed that line only to hear the lifeguard say, let it go. And I'm like, are you crazy? But I let it go, and I just kept going, and I finally somehow struggled. I probably dug my toenails into the bottom of that pool so that I could go back up the slope to get to the shallow end. But that was an awful uncomfortable thing when I was flailing, and I got out of that pool, and I just laid down, and I mean, I was just thanking God I was alive. But you know, God doesn't want you to live like that all your life. When God calls you to leave something and He calls you to go forward, listen, be like Abraham. The Bible tells us that he dwelled there. He sojourned in a land of promise as in a strange country. You say, that's not good, that's not normal, that would be very uncomfortable. In an uncomfortable setting, I believe Abraham is comfortable. Why? It is not because of material possessions, but it's because of faith. When I came to college, it was uncomfortable to have a school bill every month. Never before in my life had I ever experienced that. But you know, it's possible for you to go through your college years, and while a school bill is a big thing, God grow your faith, and you say, this is where God's called me, and I just can't flail all the time. I'm just going to live by faith. I want to ask you, how are you living right now? You're 2 weeks, not even 2 weeks into the semester. I want to ask you, is there a peace in your heart, or have you found yourself flailing and found yourself just turned upside down? Can I tell you, if you live by faith, that will disappear and there'll be a subtle confidence in your soul. Notice what also it says. It says, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of, with him of the same promise. In a strange country. You ever sing songs? I've heard the old-fashioned revival hour sing, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." Hear Rudy Atwood on the piano just pounding away and the quartet just singing away. And you know, we love that. That's one of those good old camp meeting songs, you know. It's like, "Oh, this world's not my like. It's got some bounce and life to it." And we say, "Boy, I sure like that." It's one thing to sing it, but it's another thing to live it. I don't think Abraham was enslaved by the material possessions of his day. It was a strange country. Yes, it was strange to him in that maybe he had not been that way before, but you know what? Abraham's focus is not on the earthly. We're going to see in a moment. It's on the heavenly. You know, if you live an unsurrendered life, you'll be flailing and floundering. Do you know that? You'll be fighting the whole way. But if you live a life of surrender, you know what you'll find? You'll find yourself dwelling. You'll find yourself at peace, knowing that you're where you need to be and you can go forward without all of those distractions. And so tonight we find Abraham leaving. He had to leave behind some things. Listen to me. Are there some things tonight that still need to be left behind for you by faith? We find Abraham living. He is dwelling in a strange country, but he's continuing forward. But last of all, I want you to see that Abraham was looking. In verse number 10. "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Now, I've come across the timeline thousands of years after Abraham, and I look for a city whose builder and maker is God, but I marvel that all the way back in Abraham's day that he had such foresight and faith when he was thousands of years farther removed from it than I am. He's looking forward. He has an anticipation in his heart. He's looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. When you just exist and you're just going from day to day and there's no anticipation in your heart, how is that to live? What do you look forward? You say, "I look forward to going to bed every night." You say, "I look forward to lunch." You say, "I look forward to the weekends." Listen, there are a lot of people in the world today. You know what they look forward to? The weekend. That's it. That's what their life is summed up by. Why? Because there's a paycheck on a Friday and there are 2 days to blow and debauchery that's going to make you feel so bad at the end of it you won't want to go to work on Monday. But every last one of us in this room, you know what? We ought to be looking like Abraham for a city whose builder and maker is God. I like the end of that verse when it says whose builder and maker is God. You know, if God makes it, it's good. There's some of you here, you have a creative string in you in which you can make this or that, and I'm glad that you have a gift for beauty and a gift for creation. But you know, when God makes something, it's perfect. You know, when God makes something, it's marvelous. And may I say, when God makes it, it's worth waiting for. But all you have to do is live a life of selfishness and live a life that lacks faith, and you'll miss the best that God has for you. That's all it takes. I want to ask you tonight, what are you looking forward to? Are you just to the point, "I am looking forward to hitting the doors in December and never coming back"? I'll just tell you this, if that's where you're at, I don't think it's a life of faith. Abraham was looking forward to a city whose builder and maker was God. I want you to look a little farther with me in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and that he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son." I want to remind you tonight of the depth of the sacrifice that Abraham was willing to make. Remember, Abraham was willing to leave. Abraham was living. He was looking forward. But listen to me. Part of Abraham's testimony of faith is that he was willing to give his son Isaac and to offer, and the Bible says, his only begotten son. You say, that's a mistake. He had two. No, listen to me. At this point, Isaac is the only son of promise. That is the emphasis. And Abraham was willing to sacrifice his own flesh and blood. Don't you think there's a little trust involved in that? Don't you think there's a little trust that says, listen, oh, I'll tell you what, I'll trust you with that. Brother Crow held up his truck keys today. There's a lot of guys in here. I hope he wouldn't trust to drive it. It's a valuable truck. He owns it, not the bank. I thought, please don't let him hand his keys to some freshman. That'd be a bad thing. But listen, you can take the keys of your life tonight, you can put them in the hands of God and not have any worries about it. You say, well, He may lead me in places where I don't want to go. The problem is not with God's plan. The problem is with your desire. You know, Abraham was willing to give his son, but we're not willing to give our money. We're not willing to give our time and talents. Listen to me, there's some of you in this room, you have great talents. And if you leave here and they're undeveloped, it's your fault. If you have great talent, listen, why don't you just lay it down and say, all right, God, it's yours. Help me to make the most of it. You know what I think? I think you'll be a good steward of it. You'll do everything you can to develop it. Abraham was willing to give his son, but we're not willing to give our money. Abraham was willing to give his son. We're not willing to give our talents. Abraham was willing to give his son, and we're not willing to give our own lives. Bible college is a great place where you can sit in the pew and hide behind other people who have surrendered when you've not. I want to ask you tonight, just as Abraham laid down Isaac on the altar, has there ever been a time in your life where you laid yourself down on the altar and you said, Lord, I'm yours and whatever you want, that's what I want? Or do you not trust Him? You say, how can somebody say you don't trust God? I don't know, because if there's anybody to trust, it's Him. Young people, don't be caught going through a semester talking a lot about faith but refusing to live by it. My faith has been stretched greatly in the last few months in such a way as I've gone from thing to thing, and there are times God says, all right, Alton, you've got to leave that. Alton, you've got to live in confidence and peace. Hey, you've got to look forward to a city that hath not foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You can't live in uncertainty. Dwell on that which is certain. And that's where you have to be tonight. I want to read to you verse 13 as we continue here and as we're about to close. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Are you persuaded of the promises of God tonight? You know what I've seen in college years in the dean of students' office? A young man sit down across from a young lady and say to her, I know your God's will for me. Some of you ladies aren't laughing because you've been on the other end of that. Boy, he just sounded persuaded. And you say, I'm not persuaded. And my dad's not persuaded, so talk to him. But I have. I've seen them. I've seen them. They were persuaded, but boy, they were persuaded wrong. But listen to me. Anytime you're persuaded about the promises of God, you can't go wrong. But you know what I found tonight? I found that it's impossible for you to walk by faith if you're not willing to be persuaded of God's promises. And listen to this. And embrace them. my oldest son, Andrew, when he was just a little kid, we were walking through Cleveland Mall, month of December. You say, was it bigger then than it is now? No. I remember we were walking through Cleveland Mall in December, and you know, there's always this man in a red suit with a funny-looking hat that shows up at malls at Christmas time, most of them with fake beards. Now, you understand, in our household, when it came Christmas time, there was no man that came down our chimney at Christmas. He would have been shot. We really didn't, you know, we just... He would, you know, we'd be out and about and we would see all of the Christmas fair. But I'll never forget, I had Andrew up in my arms, and by this time he's probably just 2 years old or so. And I remember we were walking by the Santa Claus display, and all of a sudden I felt this hug and embrace and fingernails dig into me like I'd never felt in my life. I tried to pry him off of me, and he just was... And I walked by and was walking to the store, and finally, after a while, he just let up and he was limp. And I was like, what is wrong with you? Went out of that store, walked the other way, went by the Santa Claus display again. And I mean, immediately that boy just dug into me. And I mean, it was with fear and trembling. He was scared of that man. We had a fellow who would visit our college campus, had a big old huge beard. And every time Andrew saw him on campus, he would hug me and not want to have anything to do with that fellow. You know, now I look back now, I'm going to tell you what, as a dad, I enjoyed that squeeze, even though if it was motivated out of fear, I was like, well, at least he wants me. But you know what, there's some of you tonight listening to me, instead of embracing your fears and uncertainty, you'd just be better off squeezing the promises of God. I don't know who you're going to marry. I don't know ultimately what mission field you're going to be on. I'm not sure about every detail and facet and plan of your life, but listen to me, if you go out of here being consumed with worry and uncertainty and you fail to embrace the promises of God, faith is just going to be a cheap word to you.